Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Zayin, and we are 16 lines from the bottom of daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis Vayomer Hamelech LeEsther Hamalka. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaimaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, Eliyoza ben Brindel, Mordechai Israel ben Esther, Chaim Gavriel ben Esther Chaya, Miriam bas Chaya, Chaim ben Shendel, Chana Rivka bas Freid, Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mendel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nassen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Chaya Nechama Idol bas Sarah, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sarah, Sarah Shainza bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Hena Perel bas Yecheved, Fega Liba bas Chava, Rafal Kaz ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf's also being learned to Eloi Nishmas, Doiv Beryl, Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So we're continuing to discuss the Purim story. We're at the tail end. In fact, in today's daf, we are going to shift our attention from all these dafin of Agadata, and we're going to get into some of the halachos related to Mikra Megillah. But we're at the point now where Achashverosh gave Esther permission to implement the Venaha Pechula Yehudim. Instead of Mordechai being hung, it was Haman that was hung. Not just Haman, but Haman and his 10 sons. Not just that, Yud Gimel Adar, Zman Kehilo Lako, the day that originally all the members of the Umay Sa'ilam had circled on their calendar as the day that they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted to the Jews. Lahashmid, Laharig, Ula'abed, as Kala Yehudim, ended up being the day that the Yidin in Shushan Abira were allowed to go and fight and kill whoever it was that they wanted to. So the pasuk says that Achashverosh gets his briefing, and he now comes to Esther. Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther HaMalka. The king tells Esther HaMalka, B'Shushan Abira, in Shushan Abira, Hargu HaYehudim, the Jews killed, V'Abed, Chamesh Me'yosesh, 500 people. V'Isaseres B'nei Homen B'Shar B'dinas HaMelech Me'osu, U'mashe Losech V'Yinosein Loch, U'mabakashosech Oid V'Teyas. So Achashverosh comes, tells Esther that everything you wanted happened. There were 500 people that were killed in Shushan Abira. Is there anything else you want before this is all over? Tell me whatever it is, viseyos, and I'm going to do it for you. So what did Esther say? Imal haMelech toiv yinosen gam machel haYehudim. She wanted one more day. And this day in Shushan, the Yidin should be able to do whatever it is they want. And the pasuk says that the Yidin did do that. They went and they killed people in Shushan. Not just that. Ushara Yehudim asher b'medinos haMelech nikalu v'omid al nafshon. And they ended up killing in total 75,000 people. We mentioned the other day, the Rabbi Reuven Margolis said that the first day, the Yidin killed 500 people were in Shushan Habira. The second day, it was in Shushan. Shushan Habira in Shushan, said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, maybe based on our modern archaeological finds, wasn't really the same place, separated by a body of water. But either way, we're picking up on that note. So the Gemara says, "Vayemer Amelech LeEsther Amalka b'Shushan Habira Hargu HaYehudim." Amar Rabbi Vo said, "Malamid Shabam Malach v'Satroy Alpiv." So the Gemara says that it sounds a little bit like when the king, Achashverosh, heard what happened in Shushan Abira, he wasn't really happy. And when he came to Esther to report, Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther HaMalka B'Shushan Abiru Hargu HaYehudim V'Abeit Chamesh Me'esish, it sounds like the conversation is actually not going to go well initially. But then all of a sudden, Achashverosh is singing a different tune. He softens up a little bit. And not only is he okay with what happened, but he doubles down. He says, tell me, Esther, Ma she'losech v'yinosein loch, u'ma bakashosech oid v'seyos. So Rabbi Vo said that the beginning of the pasuk sounded like Achashverosh was angry. And then afterwards, to the contrary, Malami, this comes to teach us, Shabam malach u'satrei alpiv, that a malach must have come, slapped him in the face, and said, Achashverosh, it's not going down this way. Meaning, this is not a time to get angry at Esther. To the contrary, ask Esther if there's anything else she wants, because this is the way the story is supposed to play out. Ubavoyoy lefnei hamelech omar im hasefer. The pasuk says that Esther appeared before the king, and omar im hasefer, she said with regards to the letter that had to do with Haman's decree. But the Gemara's Lashon is, Amar Amram Yibayile. Amar is a Lashon Zachar. Amra would be a Lashon Akeva. This is Esther talking. Esther's an Akeva. So Ubevaya, when she came, Lefnei HaMelech, Amar, it should be Amra. Amra B'yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, Amra Lai. What she said was, or some take out the word Lai, Amra Yeyamer Bapeh Mashakasa B'sefer. There's a halacha that's meant to be learned from here. And that is that Esther was saying that I'm going to write down this whole story in a sefer, and one day there should be a mitzvah that Amar Bapeh, that a Balkoire should stand up in front of a minion of Yidden, and he should read from this sefer. But Amar, not referring to what she said, but this is a remez to the idea that throughout Jewish history, there will be people that will read Mitoich HaSefer, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Then the Pasuk describes the Megillah as Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. What does that mean? Amar Rav Tanchum V'amir Lo'amar Rav Asi Melameh Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. What this means is that the Megillah is treated like Torah, Ka'amita Shal Torah, which is an interesting phrase. But the Megillah is treated like Torah. How so? Just like Torah needs sirtut, so too Megillah needs sirtut. So what is sirtut? It's actually something that's going to be discussed in the coming dafin, and it's something that's discussed in Masechtas Menachos. The Gemara mentions it in Gittin Davav. Sirtut means that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that when you write certain kisvei kodesh, you have to draw a line underneath it. So you can't just write on the cloth, but rather what you need is to etch a line inside the cloth, and then you write the oisius on top of the cloth. So what the Gemara is saying is that the Megillah is divrei shalom ve'emes, which teaches us that just like Amita Shel Torah requires sirtut, so too the Megillah also requires sirtut. Not for today, but there's a major machloikis, Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosfos. And this is something that comes up in very lumdish circles. In fact, it's learned first Seder in yeshivas across the world because it comes up in Masechtas Gittin Davav, which of course is part of the yeshiva machzer. And that is, what does the Gemara mean when it says Ka'amita Shel Torah? Rashi says, Ka'amita Shel Torah, Kesefe Torah Atzmai. It's like the Sefer Torah itself. So just like a Sefer Torah, when you write the Sefer Torah, requires sirtut, so too Megillah requires sirtut. Tosfos and Masechtas Gittin Davav argues with Rashi. And Tosfos says that really a Sefer Torah does not require sirtut. So what then does the Gemara mean when it says Megillah needs sirtut kamita shel Torah? If Torah doesn't require sirtut, so then what does it mean kamita shel Torah? It requires sirtut. Says Tosfos, Amita Shel Torah means mezuzah. Mezuzah does need sirtut. And Tosfos over there explains why you would use the phrase Amita Shel Torah to describe mezuzah, but just an important machloik is Rashi and Tosfos, whether a Sefer Torah requires sirtut or not, and what the Gemara means when it says that Amita Shel Torah needs sirtut. Rashi says Pashat, Amita Shel Torah means the Sefer Torah. Tosfos says Amita Shel Torah means the mezuzah. The Pasuk says, Umaymar Esther Kiyam. So the Pasuk says that Esther wanted very much that everything should be written. Just read a few of the psukim, just to get a feel. Vayishlach svarim el kol ha-yehudim. El sheva ve'esrim u'meya medina, malchus ha-chashverish, divrei shalom ve'emes. These were svarim that were sent out to all the Jews. Me'hoidu v'ad kosh. These were words of shalom ve'emes. We just darshan. Divrei shalom ve'emes teaches us that you need sirtut. Okay, so what did it say? L'kayim es yimei ha-purim o'ed l'bizmaneyim. You should observe the days of Purim bizmaneim, zman, zmanom, zmaneim. This is how we know Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, and Tezvav. Kashakia maleim mordchai ha-yehudi ve'ester ha-malko. Ve'kashakimu al nafshem ve'al zarom, divrei ha-tsoymois ve'zakostam. U'maymer ester kiam, divrei ha-purim o'ela, ve'nichtav ba-sefer. So the Gemara says that it sounds a little bit like what made the Purim story happen. It was u'maymer ester kiam. The Maimer of Esther is what made Divrei HaPurim Ma'ela. Says the Gemara, Maimer Esther in, was that it? It was what Esther had done, meaning her contribution is really the key to the whole Purim story? Divrei HaTzoymois Light? What about the fasting? What about all the tefillos? What about the tshuva? That had nothing to do with it? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Yochanan said, you're right, Divrei HaTzoymois, U'Maimer Esther, Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ma'ela. So you have to go back to the previous pasuk. Divrei HaTzoymois V'Zakosam, even though it's the next pasuk, but it's a continuation. Umamar Esther, so the Divrei HaTzoymois, the yelling, the Maimar Esther, meaning Esther's role, that altogether was Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'elo. That's what made the Purim story happen. Kimartchei HaYehudi, Mishno LeMelech HaChashverosh. We're really at the end of the Megillah. The Ratzui L'Roiv Echad, says the Gemara, L'Roiv Echad, L'Roiv L'Chol Echad. It sounds like Mordechai was only approved by Roiv Echad, meaning most of his brethren approved of Mordechai, but there were people that didn't. And the Gemara says that's true, it's a good diyuk. Melamed, we learn from here, that there were some members of the Sanhedrin that were Pirshim Mimenu. They they didn't approve of him. Why not? The reason is because when Mordechai got involved in politics, he started getting involved in Askanus, which meant that he was going to learn less. And there were members of the Sanhedrin that felt that it was not okay, and it was wrong, and as a result, they didn't approve of him so much. So Mordechai originally had been someone that was more Oisek and Torah, and now he's being Oisek and Torah and so many other very, very important things. But at the same time, there were members of the Sanhedrin that deemed it to be a downgrade. And therefore, Mordechai, at the end of the Purim story, is Ratzoy only L'roi V'echad, he's not Ratzoy L'choy L'echad. So the Gemara says as a postscript to this, Amar Rabbi Yosef said, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Me'atzalas Nefashas, that Talmud Torah is more chashuv than Atzalas Nevashas. How do you know that? The Mikara Chashav Leila Mordechai Basadalit. Because initially, before Mordechai got involved in Atzalas Nevashas, when all Mordechai was doing was learning Torah, so his name is mentioned after four other Chachamim, Ula B'Saif. But then years later, Rashi says 24 years later, when Mordechai gets involved in all this Atzalas Nevashas, Basa Chamisha, his name is mentioned after five Chachamim. What are these two Pesukim? Mikara, except the first Pasuk is Asher Bo Imzru Bavel. So we mentioned Chachamim, Yeshua, Nechemya, Saraya, Re'elaya, and then the fifth is Mordechai Bilshan. So Mordechai is mentioned after four. Ula B'Saif, 24 years later, Habayim Imzru Bavel, Yeshua 1, Nechemya 2, Azariah 3, Ra'amya 4, Nachmani 5, and then only afterwards is the Mordechai Bilshan. So Mordechai goes from being fifth in the pecking order to being six. So what happened? Clearly he fell a madrego. So you see from here, says the Gemara, that Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Me'atzalas Nefashas, in a different nosach, Mordechai Yehudi was Ratzui L'Roi V'Echav, but not to Kol Echav. And the reason is because when he got involved in Atzalas Nefashas, as impressive and as choshev as it was, but at the same time, Pirshu Mimenu Miksa Sanhedrin, that Ben Ezra, in his Pirish, Amigilas Esther says a different shot. He says, you want to know why Mordechai was only Ratzui L'Roiv Echav and not L'Chol Echav? Quote, Ki Ein Yecholis Pa'odom L'Ratzai Sakol. He said, it's impossible for a person to live his life where everybody's going to like him. Bavur, and the reason is, Kina Sa'achim. Kina, jealousy. It's not possible. So says Devin Ezra, Al Derech HaPshat, that Mordechai, even in his best day, was going to be Ratzui L'Roi V'Echav. There was no way everybody was going to like him, because nobody likes anybody. It's just the way it is. Meaning, it's impossible for a person to get 100% approval rating. It's just not a metzias. So says Devin Ezra, Ki Ein Yecholis Ba'odam, it's not possible, L'Ratzui Sakol, to be a favorite in everybody's eyes. Why? Because it's kinna, and kinna leads to sinna, and inevitably, this is the way it's going to be. So says Devin Ezra, it's pasha to me why Mordechai was only Ratzui L'Roi V'Echav. The truth is, from a kinna perspective, think of Mordechai's life, and think about everything that he had going on. So he was obviously someone that would be vulnerable for other people to be jealous of. But you want to know why Mordechai is Ratzui L'Roi V'Echad? Because that's the way it is. Of course, what comes to mind is the Tshuv and the Chassam Sofer and Chelek Vav that we always talk about, where the Chassam Sofer says that a person has to be Naki Be'enei Hashem U'Be'enei Abriyos V'Yisim Nekiyam Me'Hashem U'Min Ha'Adam. Right? You have to live your life in a way where you're Noyach Loi La'Adam and you're also Noyach Loi La'Mokoyim. And the Chassam Sofer says that it's much easier to be Naki Be'enei Hashem than it is to be Naki Be'enei Adam. He says the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a fear judge. So Hashem will judge you fairly as a result, as long as you do the right thing and Rachman Aliba Bay. So Hashem will feel that you're a Naki. He'll see you as one of his people. That's not so hard. To be Naki Be'enei Habriya, says the Chassam Sofer, that's hard. He said, not only is that hard, I don't even know if it's possible. And he says there were many times that he thought that maybe that's what Chazal meant when they said, Ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'layachdo. Is that true? It's impossible for a person to live his life and not be choyte? What they meant was that a person has an obligation to live his life in a way where nobody is going to think negatively about him. That's something he doesn't know if it's possible. Truth is, it's an Eben Ezra. It's impossible for a person to live his life, certainly not a public person, and certainly not a person like Mordechai, where it's very obvious why there would have been kinna. And the kinna is what gets in the way. And like the Chassam Sofer said, V'yisem nekiyem me Hashem, yeah. Aber min Adam? I don't know if that's possible. And it's mistaber, that's the Kein Tzadik Baretz, Ash Yaseh Toiv Lo Yechta. So the Gemara just said a very, very powerful one line. Omer Rav Yosef, the great Rav Yosef said, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef me'atzalas nevashas. So the Gemara is going to go now, me'inyin le'inyin, po'isa'inyin. We have a few classic Gemaras tucked away between here and Hadron Halach, the first parak. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav, Rav, Sevitim, Rav Shmuel Bar Marta. Some say that it wasn't Rav, but it was Rav Shmuel Bar Marta. Either way, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef me'binyin beis hamikdash. Talmud Torah is so gewaldig that it's more chashuv than binyin beis hamikdash. So if a person had a choice, I should sit and learn first Seder, or should I go to Yerushalayim and should I build a Beis HaMikdash? It's not a question. You don't have to ask a Rav. It's enough in a Gemara. Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoyser Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. And what's the Raya? She calls man she Baruch Ben-Neri Yokayim. Because as long as Baruch Ben-Neri was alive, Lo Hinichai Ezra Va'Allah. Ezra didn't leave his Rebbe and go to Eretz Yisrael. So Baruch Ben-Neri was a Talmud of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He was also the Rebbe of Ezra. And he was very old. And when the Yidden were given permission to go to Eretz Yisrael, there was no way that Baruch Ben-Neri was going to be able to go. Ezra had a dilemma. Should Ezra go to Eretz Yisrael anyways? The Yidden are building the Beis HaMikdash. They're starting to bring karbonis. Ezra was a Kohen. The Rambam somewhere says that Ezra was a Kohen Gadol. It's controversial, but the Rambam says he was a Kohen Gadol. Ezra had a lot to do in Yerushalayim. He was going to lead the Jews. The question is, should he go or should he stay with his Rebbe? At the end of the day, Metaflaren in Torah. And Ezra made a decision. His decision was, I'm not going to Yerushalayim. Why? Because Baruch Ben-Neri is alive, and I'd rather learn Torah. Must be, says the Gemara, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is that one of the great misnomers that we have in Jewish history is that Ezra is the one that built the second Beis HaMikdash. It's not true. Ezra did not build the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra came to Yerushalayim when the second Beis HaMikdash was already built. The Yidden were given Rishus to start building the second Beis HaMikdash in the second year of the reign of Daryavish. That's from one of the subplots of Masechtas Megillah of the Purim story. Daryavish was the son of Esther and Achashverosh, and he was the one that gave the Yidden permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ezra, Rashi quotes right here on Ar Amid, didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go to Yerushalayim until the seventh year of Daryavish's reign. That means Ezra waited 5 years. Can you imagine? There's a Beis HaMikdash. Ezra, 5 years he didn't come to Yerushalayim. What could Ezra have possibly been doing in Bavel that didn't allow him to go to Yerushalayim? Maybe he was involved with Askanas lobbying the Persian government. No. He was sitting and learning because he had a Rebbe who was older. His Rebbe wasn't going to be able to go, and therefore Ezra felt that he has to stay in Bavel. And the truth is, if you think about it even a little bit more, Ezra, had he gone to Eretz Yisrael, probably would have been able to learn Torah there too. He probably would have found a Chavrusa. He probably would have been able to have a yeshiva and really have done whatever he wanted. Obviously, Ezra felt that to learn from his Rebbe, who's a Talmud of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, is something that he's not going to have the opportunity to do. So it's not like Ezra saying, well, if I go to Yerushalayim, it's Bittul Torah. I don't think it would have been Bittul Torah. But he went to learn with his Rebbe. And he felt there's a certain shleimus in learning that he's going to lose out if he goes to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he remained in Bavel. But that's the bottom line. From Ezra, we learn that Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoyser Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabba. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibud Aveim. So we just said, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Me'atzalas Nefashos. Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. And now we have Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibud Aveim. Three classic Gemaras. So what's the Makar that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Aveim? Says the Gemara, Shekol Oysen Shana Shoya Yaakov Avinu Beveis Ever Loi Nenash. Because for the years, the 14 years, that Yaakov Avinu was learning in the yeshiva of Ever, he wasn't punished. So what does this all mean? So the Gemara is going to take us through a long-winded cheshbon that's going to take us until the Hadron, until the end of the Perek, and then we'll put it all together. Says the Gemara, Lama Nimnu Shnoisav Shel Yishmal. Chazal said, why is it that the Torah mentions how many years Yishmal lived? The reason is, says the Gemara, because by knowing how long Yishmael, as in Avram Avinu's son, lived, you're able to figure out a little bit better the life and times of Yaakov Avinu. Now, where does the Torah say that Yishmael lived a certain amount of years? A pasuk, the chsiv, ve'ele shnei chaye Yishmael. The following are the years of Yishmael, ma'ashana, shloishim shana, v'shev ha'shanim. The pasuk says Yishmael lived 137 years. And the whole premise of this next Gemara we're going to learn is that the Gemara is bothered. Why does it matter? Why is it an important piece of information that Yishmael lived 137 years? If you look at the first Rashi on the Amid, Rashi says, Malonu limnoi shnoi sarishai. Meaning, the Torah sometimes mentions how long people live. Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. We know how long Avram lived, we know how long Yitzchak lived, we know how long Yaakov lived, we know how long Yosef lived. Right, the Torah does mention certain tzaddikim, how long they live. Oh, but tzaddikim. Why are we talking about Rishon? And the Marsha adds one knech, that even though Chazal say that Yishmael did tshuva, which is why, by the way, in the times of the Gemara, there were many Tanam whose name was Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yosi, Stam Rabbi Yishmael. That was a very, very common name. And it must be because... has to be that Yishmael did tshuva, because otherwise the shame Rishon Yirkov. But the Marsha says, I know Yishmael did tshuva. But the Gemara's kasha is that you only mention the life of a person who actually was a tzaddik throughout his entire life. I guess the point is, he lived a certain amount of time, like Sarah, Kulon Shavon Latovish, lived 127 years as Rashi, and all 127 were chashuv years. Yishmael, even if he died a tzaddik, but he certainly didn't live his life as a tzaddik. And it's for that reason the Gemara is bothered, why would the Torah mention the fact that Yishmael was 137 years when he died? So the Gemara says that you want to know what the reason is. It's to back in to the fact, we'll give away the punchline, that Yaakov Avinu learned in the yeshiva of Aver, sometimes referred to as the yeshiva of shame, sometimes referred to as the yeshiva of shame ve'ever, a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. But to teach us that Yaakov Avinu learned in the yeshiva of Aver for 14 years. You know how we know that? We know that because we know that Yishmael lived 137 years. How is that? So the Gemara says like this, very simple. How much older was Yishmael than Yitzchak? The Gemara gives us the teretz. It's a rhetorical question. Our beis hashnin, 14 years. The pasuk says, Avram Avinu was 86 years old when he gave birth to Yishmael. The pasuk also says, Avram ben ma'ashana befalded leis Yitzchak. He was 100 when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So it's back of the envelope arithmetic. He was 86 when he gave birth to Yishmael. He was 100 when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So obviously he's 14 years is Yishmael when Yitzchak's born. That means Yishmael is 14 years older than Yitzchak. Okay, let's hold that thought. V'ksiv, the pasuk says, V'yitzchak ben shishim shana b'ledas Esav. Yitzchak was 60 when he gave birth to his sons, Yaakov and Esav. Okay, bar kama havi Yishmael kedis yalid Yaakov. The Gemara does all the math for us. How old then was Yishmael when Yaakov was born? Well, if Yishmael is 14 years older than Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov was born, bar shiv and barva, he must have been 74 years old, says the Gemara. Kama paishon mishnei. So if we know now that Yishmael was 74 at the time that Yaakov was born, and we know because the Torah mysteriously told us that Yishmael was 137 years old when he died. So how much time passed from when Yaakov was born until Yishmael died? So it's math. 137 minus 74. Sheet in the class. The Gemara does the math. 63. That means Yishmael was 60, that lived 63 years after Yaakov Avinu was born. V'tanya, the truth is, it's a braisa. The braisa says, Hoya Yaakov Avinu, b'shoshen esbarech me'ovid, ben shishim v'shalosh shana. Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old at the time that he received the brachas from his father. How do you know that? Because it was at that time that Yishmael died. Because the pasuk says, "Vayar Esav kiberach." Yeah, Esav saw that Yaakov got the brachas. Vayelach Esav Yishmael. Esav was not happy, so he goes to Yishmael. Vayikachas Machlas bas Yishmael achis Nevoyos, and he marries Machlas, who's the daughter of Yishmael, who's also the son of Nevoyos. Machlas was Yishmael's daughter, and the sister of Nevoyos, not the son, the sister, because Nevoyos was the son of Yishmael. So the Gemara says, "V'mashvish nema bas Yishmael." If the pasuk says that Machlas was the daughter of Yishmael, any idea she achos Nevoyos? Obviously, she's the sister of Nevoyos. Why is it obvious? Because if Yamav said you, you'll know that Yishmael had a son Nevoyos. He had a daughter Machlas. If Esav married Machlas, that means he married the sister of Nevoyos. So why did the pasuk say that Esav married Achos Nevoyos? Malami, it comes to teach us Shekitsha Yishmael Umes, that Yishmael was Mekadesh Machlas, and at that time, meaning Yishmael was the one that was Mekadesh his daughter to Esav, he immediately died, V'yisiyah Nevoyos Achiyah, and when it came time to the Nesu'in, so at that point it was Nevoyos that was marrying her off, but it wasn't Yishmael anymore that was marrying her off. But here's the point. The point is that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old at the time that he got the brachas. You know how we know that? We know he was 63 years old at the time of the brachas because we know at the time that he got the brachas, Yishmael died. How do we know that? Because as soon as he got the brachas, Esav runs to Yishmael. He ends up marrying the daughter of Yishmael. Yishmael oversees the Kedushin, but by the time the Nesu'in came along, he wasn't alive anymore. So you see, it was in that year that he died. Okay. So what? We also know that Yishmael died when he was 137. We also know that Yishmael was 74 at the time that Yaakov was born. So if Yaakov was born when Yishmael was 74, and then he got the brachas when Yishmael died, and when Yishmael died, he was 137. So the math is that Yaakov was 63 years old at the time of the brachas. Okay, this still has nothing to do with 14 years in Shem Ve'ever. So this is the second leg of the Cheshbon. Says the Gemara, Shitim V'tlas. Okay, so we've established that Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old at the time of the brachas. So what happens after Yaakov Avinu's brachas? So Esav runs to Yishmael and he marries Machlas. Gevaldik. What does Yaakov do? He goes to Lavan, right? Presumably. Now we know that's not what happened. We know 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. But it doesn't say it anywhere in the Psukim. Based on the Psukim, you go from Parshas Toldos, that's the Parsha V'yitin Lecha, immediately V'yetze Yaakov, Be'er Sheva, V'yei Lecha Rana. He's going to Charan. What's he going to do in Charan? He's going to look to get married. So he goes and he works for 14 years. And it was at the end of the 14 years that Yosef was born. How do you know that? Ayin Rashi. Hashim v'shiva. So he's 77 years old at the time that Yosef was born. V'ksivi Yosef and Shleishim Shonab Amdu Lefnei Pari. Yosef was 30 years old when Yosef was by Pari. How old is Yaakov then when Yosef is now the Mishnah Melech of Pari? Ha-ma'ash Sheva. He's 107. He's 77 when Yosef is born, and Yosef is 30 when Yosef now becomes the Mishnah Melech. That means it's 77 plus 30. Yaakov Avinu is 107. Now, Shev de Sava, there were 7 fat years. Vatarti de Kafno, and there were 2 hunger years. So there were 9 years now that passed. Hamei v'shitzer. So Yaakov Avinu now went from being 107 to 116. Okay. Now, what happened after the 2 years of hunger? Yaakov Avinu arrives to Mitzrayim, and he meets Pari for the first time. And the pasuk says, "Vayomer Pari Yaakov, kami yemei shnei chayecha." Tell me, how old are you? Vayomer, and he said, "Yaakov did al Pari yemei shnei megurai shloishim mashana. I'm 130 years old." Freik the Gemara, 130 may the shitza happen. He's not 130. He's really 116. Zok the Gemara is the punchline. Elishmamina arba esrei shnin dahavi beveis ever lechashavu. It must be this 14 years that are missing. What are the 14 years? 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was in the yeshiva of Aver, even though it doesn't say anywhere where he was for those 14 years, but presumably that's where he was. Where else would he have been? So he's in the yeshiva of Aver, and that's how we know that he's in the yeshiva of Aver for 14 years. And the only reason we know this again is because we know that Yishmael was 137 when he died. By knowing that Yishmael was 137 when he died, we know that Yaakov is 63 at the time of the brachas. And if we just map out everything that happens from the time that Yaakov is 63 until he tells Pari he's 130, we're missing 14 years. That's how we know that he was 14 years in Shem Ve'ever. It all comes from the fact that Yishmael was 137. If we didn't know Yishmael was 137, we would have no way of knowing Yaakov was 63. And as a result, we would have no basis to make this cheshbon. Either way, the Gemara says this is also a brisa. Meaning the fact that Yaakov was in Yeshiva of Ever 14 years is mefurish. The time Yehoi Yaakov Ever Mutmin Arba Esri Shana. Yaakov was hidden in the Yeshiva of Ever for 14 years. Ever Meis Achashir Yaakov Laram Naraim Shnei Shanim. When did Ever die? Ever is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Ever. He died 2 years after Yaakov Avinu left already Taram Naraim. Yatsam Yishamu Voloi Laram Naraim Nimtzik Shaman Ala Be'er Ben Shivim V'Sheva Shana, which means that Yaakov Avinu, when he was standing by the Be'er, he was 77. He was 63 when he got the brachas. 14 years later, he appears by the Be'er. That's when he meets Rachel and Leah and Lavan, which means that he would be 77 at that time. Okay, says the Gemara. Why we bring this whole cheshbon, right? We're still really in middle of the bigger picture. The Gemara said, Godol Talmud Torah, Yoyser Mikibet Avei. How do you know that? Because for the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was in the Yeshiva of Aver, he wasn't punished. So the first thing we had to do was, we had to establish that Yaakov Avinu was in the Yeshiva of Aver 14 years. I think we did that. Now the question is, Uminalon Delei Mianish, how do you know that he wasn't punished? Meaning, what punishment are we even talking about? And how do you know that Yaakov wasn't punished for those 14 years? So the Gemara says it's a brisa de Tanya. Nimtza Yosef shepiresh me aviv esrim shtai yashan. Yosef was separated from his father for 22 years. Yesterday we talked a little bit about 22 years. That Haman was a barber for 22 years. This is, of course, Exhibit A for the number 22. Yosef was separated from his father for 22 years. And Kishem Shapirish, Yaakov Avinu Me'aviv, just like Yaakov Avinu was separated from his father for 22 years, so too Yosef was separated from Yaakov for 22 years. As if to say, Yaakov Avinu was punished for not doing Kibbutz Avim with his father Yitzchak for the 22 years that he was away. And Mida Keneged Mina, What happened to him? Yosef was taken away from him for 22 years. So the Gemara asked, the Yaakov told some Ashisa Hava. If you do the math, Yaakov wasn't away for 22 years. He was away for 36 years. These extra 14 years that we just created. Ella, our beser, the Hava beves, Eva, lechashel, it must be these 14 years don't count. He wasn't punished for those 14 years. Why not? Shekdoyla Talmud Torah, Yosef, mikibir avein. But the Gemara says, soif, soif, the base, love, and Esther, shtin, Hava. It was still off a little bit. Because the truth is, Yaakov was only by love him for 20 years. He was there for 7 years working, then another 7 years working for his wives, and then afterwards he remained another 6 years. So 22 years, the Chur should be 20 years. Hello, the Gemara said, Mishum deshtayba urcha tartin shtin. On his way back, Yaakov didn't go right back home, but rather it took him 2 years till he got home. The Tanya, this is also a braisa. Yatzame Aram Narayim. Yaakov left Aram Narayim, right? That's where Lavan lives. Ubaloi the Sukkos. He came to a place called Sukkos. V'asa sham shmoina asa chayda. She was there for 18 months. Shenema v'Yaakov nasa Sukkos. Yaakov came to Sukkos. V'even like bayis, he built a bayis. Ule mikneo asa Sukkos. This is one of the Ramazim to Sukkos. Ubeveisel asa shish gadashim. And then he went to Veisel for another 6 months. V'hekriv zvachim. And he bought karbonis there. So the point is another 2 years, and that's the cheshbon. So either way, the first parak of Masechtas Megillah ends with three very important divrei agada. Rav Yosef said, "Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef me'atzalas nefashes." Rav, and some say Rav Shmuel bar Marta said, "Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef mi'binyan beis hamikdash." And Rabba, in the name of Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta said, "Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef mikibud aveim." So we know the Mishnah. We say it every morning. V'salmud Torah. Keneged kula, but this is the Gemara that brings it out so stark. The Gemara takes three things that you would have thought maybe take precedent over Talmud Torah. And the Gemara says, no. Hatzolus nefashis. Hatzolus nefashis. Godul Talmud Torah yoysem hatzolus nefashis. Binyan beis hamikdash. Godul Talmud Torah yoysem mi binyan beis hamikdash. And kibud aveim. Godul Talmud Torah yoysem mi kibud aveim. And on that note, Hadron Alach Megillah Nikra. So we're going to get back to the first part of Daf as it relates to Reit, but just first, we have a blot Gemara to learn and a lot of words in these Dafin, so we'll see how far we can get. Zokt the Heilige Mishnah, the second parak of Masechtas Megillah, which deals with the laws of Mikra Megillah. So we'll go through it a little bit quickly. Hakeiros HaMegillah, if somebody reads the Megillah, first the Mishnah, Lemafreya, and he reads it backwards, Lo Yotza, he's not Yotza. Kara Alpeh, if somebody reads the Megillah Balpeh, meaning he doesn't read it looking inside the Megillah, but he reads it by heart. Kara Targum, or he reads it in Aramaic. Bechalashin, or he reads it in some other language. La Yotze is not Yotze. Aval Kara Noisa, Lila Yaza is Pelas. If you want to read the Megillah in a foreign language to a person that understands that language, that's going to be okay. Valoyah Shasham Ashur is Yotze. Someone that doesn't speak Lashon Kodesh, if he hears the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh, he's Yotze. Kara Seirugin. If somebody reads it and then he pauses, then he reads it and he pauses again. Umisnamning, or somebody reads it when he's semi-comatose, Yotze. He's also Yotze. Hoyukais Fedarshir Magia. If somebody was writing a Megillah, he was darshaning a Megillah, he was editing a Megillah, and as he's doing that, he's reading the words. And it happens to be Purim, Gevaldik. Could he be Yotze, the mitzvah with that Imki Vilni? But if he had a mind to be Yotze, Yotze, he's Yotze. And if not, Lo Yotze, he's not Yotze. Hoyse ksuva besam, besikro, bekumas, ubekankantum. He wrote the Megillah, but he wrote with those different types of inks and dyes. Ala niyar, on a piece of paper, fala diftera, Lo Yotze, he's not Yotze. Achte ksuva ashuris, you have to write it in ksav ashuris, which is the oisiyos that we write a Sefer Torah with, ala Sefer, has to be written on a parchment, ubidyoy, and it has to be written with black ink. So a lot of halachas, the Gemara is going to go through. But we begin with the first halacha. Hakoyre es ha-megillah limafreya lo yotza. So if you read the whole Megillah, but you didn't read it in order, so the halacha is lo yotza, you're not going to be yotza. But not immediately. We have to have a makar for this. What's the source? Amar Rava, Rava said. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, kichsavam uchizmanam, that the Megillah has to be kichsavam, ukizmanim. Okay, mazmanim afrei aloi. Just like the zmanim of the Megillah can't be looked backwards. Meaning, what are the zmanim of the Megillah? Yudalit and Tezvav. Those are the zmanim of Purim. Can't be backwards. Tezvav will never come before Yudalit. Afksavim afrei aloi. So too, you can't read it backwards either. But the Gemara says, mi de kriya ksiva? Hacha asiya ksiva. Where do you see kriya samegillah? Kichsavim ukizmanim doesn't say a word about kriya samegillah. In fact, if you read the pasuk, kimu vikiblu hayehudim aleim valzarim, valkola nilvim aleim, valo yav. We're talking about the mitzvahs. We're not talking about the Kriyas HaMegillah. So if there's a hekesh to Zmanam, The Hekesh is in the Asiya. It's not in the Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says, you're right, El Mehacha Tachsiv. The Pasuk says, Vayomim Ha'ele Niskarim V'nasim. Oh, so now already we have a Hekesh between Mikra Megillah and the Mitzvahs. Iskish Schiro L'Asiya. Ma Asiya L'mafrei Eloi. Just like the Asiya Purim you can't do backwards, meaning there's Yudalit and then there's Tezvav. The people that have to do Yudalit, Tezvav, Tezvav. But if you're a Yudalit on the calendar, it's always going to come before Tezvav. Afschir L'mafrei Eloi. So too, Schiro, when you read the Megillah, you can't read it backwards. Ton. We learned in the Braisa. So we're going to digress now. So we just mentioned HaKoyres HaMegillah L'mafreya Lo Yotza. Braisa said, V'chein Bahal. Same issue for Hal. If you read Hal backwards, you're not Yotza. V'chein B'Kriyishma. Same is true for Kriyishma. U'betfilo, and the same is true for Tfilo. So Gemara says, Hal Minol. How do you know that Hal has to be done in order? I mean, how do you know you have to recite Hal in the Seder that we have? Rabbi said, Chsiv, Mi Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyer. That's in the beginning of Hal. Mi Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyer. From sunrise to sunset, right? You praise Hashem literally from the time that the sun rises to the time that the sun sets. But Rabbi said, you know what the pasuk's saying? That it has to be Kaseder. Just like the sun rises, then it sets. This is part of the Seder of Teva. That's the way you're supposed to say Hallel. Rabbi Yosef said, Zeh Hayoyim Asa Hashem. That's also a pasuk in Hallel. And just like the day follows a certain Seder, Teva, so too, Hallel, when you praise Hashem, it has to be in a Seder. Rav Avya Omar, Yehi Shem Hashem Bevoirach. The word Yehi, this is also a pasuk in Hallel, but Yehi means the way it's written, the way it's presented. Don't do it out of order. Don't come up with your own way of doing it. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, V'item Rav Nachum Bar Yaakov Amamehacha, Me'ata V'ad Oilam. That from Me'ata V'ad Oilam, again, coming from Tehillim, Yehi Shem Hashem Bevoirach, Me'ata V'ad Oilam, see, it's in order. From now until forever is Kiseder, first, now, then, forever. That's the way you're supposed to say Hal. So, just like HaKoyres HaMegillah L'mafreya Lo Yotza, so too, HaKoyres HaHalo L'mafreya Lo Yotza. The Braisa also said, Kriyishma and Tefillah. Kriyishma can't go L'mafreya, and Tefillah can't go L'mafreya. Says the Gemara, Kriyishma, how do you know Kriyishma can't be L'mafreya? The Tanya belonging to the Braisa. Kriyishma kichsavra divrei Rabbi. Kriyishma has to be said B'loshim Kodesh, the way it's written. The Parshias of Kriyishma, all three Parshias are written in the Torah. Shema Yisrael v'yahavtas in Parshas Voschanon, Vayim Shemayas in Parshas Ekev, and the Parsha Vayoyme, the Parsha of Tzitzis in Parsha Shlach, and you have to read it in that way. Kriyishma has to be kichsava. That's what Rabbi said. But the Chachamim all argued with Rabbi. The Chachamim said, no, b'chal Lashon. You could do it in any language. My time with the Rabbi. Why does Rabbi hold that it has to be dafka in Lashon HaKodesh? On my crop, because the Pasuk says, v'hoyu advar ma'ela, and from v'hoyu we learn that b'aviyasin yehe, that it's supposed to be the way it's written. It's written in Lashon HaKodesh. You pronounce it in Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbanu my time. Why the Rabbanu hold that you could do it in any language? On my crop, because it says Shema, right? The first word of Shema is Shema. And we learn from there, as long as you understand the language, that's good. So again, Rebbe darshins v'hoyu lashon kodesh. The Chachamim darshin shema, any language. So what do we have to do now? What's the exercise of the Gemara going to be? What it always is. What does Rebbe do with shema? And what did the Chachamim do with v'hoyu? And once you explain what the Chachamim do with v'hoyu, how does Rebbe know that? And once you figure out what Rebbe does with Shema, how do the Chachamim know that? So we're going to volley a little bit, right? We're going to go a little bit back and forth. Says the Gemara that, V'Rebbe nami yoksiv Shema. What does Rebbe do with the word Shema? Teach me a different halacha. Not that you could say it in any language, but rather you have to hear yourself talk. So when you say Kriya Shema, you have to hear the words leave your mouth. Rabbanan don't agree with that halacha. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos. It's a machlokes whether that halacha is in fact true or not. The Rabbanan hold there's no such halacha. So Rabbanan don't learn from Shema that you have to hear the words. What do the Rabbanan do with the word Shema? Any language? Very good. Rabbi learns from the word Shema that you have to hear yourself talk. Thus, you can't use it to teach me any language. For Hayu then teaches me it has to be B'Lashon Kodesh. Freik the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami Yaksiv Hayu. What did the Rabbanan do with V'Hayu? Rebbe used V'Hayu to teach me in Kriyishma Dafka B'Lashon Kodesh. What did the Rabbanan do with it? This is what we need. Ha'umi Bayale Shalai Yikr L'Mafreya. The Rabbanan learned from V'Hayu, it has to be the way it's written, not in the language that it's written, but in the order that it's written. First, Voschanon, then Ekev, then Shlach. It has to be in that order. How does Rebbe know that you can't read it L'mafreya? If he doesn't learn it from V'hayu, he learns it from the words, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela. Hadvarim. Mi dvarim hadvarim. He could have said, V'hayu dvarim ha'ela. What's V'hayu hadvarim? To teach me in order. V'rabbanu dvarim hadvarim l'mashu. V'rabbanu don't darshin. Dvarim hadvarim. So before we just recap this, says the Gemara, Lema kasava Rebbe kala terukul b'chat lashon namra. With it, be fair to say that Rebbe holds that any parsha in the Torah, when you read it, you could read it in any language. Why would you assume that? Because if you're going to tell me that Rebbe holds that really every parsha in the Torah has to be written in Lashon HaKodesh, so why do you need Vahayu to tell me that Krishma has to be written in Lashon HaKodesh? Every parsha has to be written in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara makes a rather elementary inference. If Rebbe needed a pasuk to tell me that Krishma has to be Lashon Kodesh, must be the rest of the Torah could be in any language. Someone says, no, maybe really every single parsha in the Torah needs to be Lashon Kodesh. But still, I need Vahayu to tell me that Krishma has to be Lashon Kodesh. Why? Because I would have thought Shema Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan hold that Krishma could be B'chaloshin. And they have a pasuk to teach it to me. So I could have made a toys, Ben Benoy Shal toys. I could have thought that maybe Shema teaches me B'chaloshin. Meaning, I'll tell you that every parsha in the Torah has to be B'lashon Kodesh. But maybe the parsha of Shema is actually more kuladig because it says Shema, Kasav Rachman of Ahayu. Therefore, the Torah said Vahayu that Kriya Shema also has to be B'lashon Kodesh. Says the Gemara, the opposite. Lema Kasav Rabbanon Kol HaTorah B'lashon HaKodesh. Should we assume that the Rabbanon hold that the entire Torah has to be B'lashon Kodesh? Because if you can tell me the Rabbanon hold that really every parsha in the Torah has to be written in and it could be said in any language, lovely the Mechtav Shema. So why do I need Shema to tell me that you could say Kriya Shema in any language? Every parsha could be said in every language. Must be every parsha has to be B'lashon Kodesh. And Mars says the same Chesh, but no, Yisroch. So I would have thought V'hayu K'rebi. I would have thought that maybe La'olam, every parsha could also be B'chaloshin. But Kriyishma, maybe Dafka has to be B'lashon Kodesh. Doesn't Rebbe hold that? V'hayu, that it has to be B'lashon Kodesh? Because of Rachman Shema, that's what the Torah wrote Shema to teach me, that no, that it can be in every single language. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that HaKoyres HaMegillah L'mafrei L'yotza, HaKoyres HaHalo L'mafrei L'yotza, and HaKoyres Kriyishma L'mafreya la'yatza, as it relates to Kaira Kriyashma l'mafreya, how do you know that? So the Gemara really had two makairas. Either we learn it from Vahayu, Vahayu teaches me that I can't do l'mafreya, or it's from the next word, Vahayu ha'divarim. Could have said Vahayu dvarim. What's Vahayu ha'divarim with a hey? The Vahayu ha'divarim with a hey teaches me that it can't be read l'mafreya. Now we're up to tefillah. Tefillah also can't be l'mafreya. So this Gemara that we're going to start now is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, but we'll make a little bit of a haschala. So the Gemara says, tefillah minolan. How do you know that tefillah has to be in a certain seder? Now we're talking specifically about Shemayin Esrei. Almost every time Chazal used the word tefillah, they mean Shemayin Esrei. So what would it mean seder in Shemayin Esrei? What would it mean you can't do a l'mafreya? It's very simple. Shemayin Esrei is made up of 18 brachas. Truth is, it's made up of 19 brachas, v'lam al shinim, for whatever reason, it was added later, and we still refer to it as the 18 brachas as opposed to what it really is, which is 19 brachas. But there's a seder in the brachas. Everyone knows what the seder is. We daven Shemayin Esrei 3 times a day. So that seder is what the Gemara is referring to now. And you have to do first the first bracha, Avos, then the second bracha, Gvurois, and then the third bracha, and it has to follow that order. So the Gemara says, how do you know this Seder? So what the Gemara is going to do now, it's going to tell us a little bit of the history of Tefillah, and the truth is, Metz Hashem, if time allows, we'll go into it tomorrow during the raid. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but for now, we'll just go through the Gemara quickly. Says the Gemara, D'Tanya, Shimon HaPakuli Histe Shemayin Esrei, Brachas Efnei Rabbi Gamliel HaSeid B'Yavin. You want to know who the author of the Shemayin Esrei is? Zachar Latov. It was someone by the name of Shimon HaPakuli. That's who it was. Rashi says he was a cotton merchant. That's what he did. He used to sell pakula, which apparently means cotton. So he was a cotton merchant, and thus he was known as Shimon HaPakuli. Interesting. So he's the one that was Mesader the Shemayin Esrei. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Amilu b'mastisa tano. Some say it's a braisa. Then no. This is not the creation of Shimon HaPakuli. This didn't happen in the times of Rabbi Gamliel. Didn't happen in Yavne. Right? Yavne is circa churban b'yisheni. This is something that goes back hundreds of years earlier. Me'eva Esrim Skenim, there were 120 elders. Ubahem kam neviim, amongst them many were neviim. Tiknu Shmoyne Esrei Brachos ala Seder. They're the ones that were misakein the Shmoyne Esrei Brachos. Either way, so there's a Seder of Shmoyne Esrei, and the Gemara now is going to discuss, number one, what the Brachos are, and number two, why they're in the order that they're in. Tanu Rabbana, Minayin Sha'imrim Avos. How do you know that you're supposed to mention the Avos when you daven Shemayin Esrei? It says the Gemara, Shenemar, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. Who are the Elim? These are the powerful people. These are referring to the Avos. So Havu Lashem, that's a Lashon of Tefillah. Mention Elim, the fact that we're the sons of the Elim. to mention the obvious. We mentioned Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, and that's why we start Shemayna Esrei L'kei Avram L'kei Yitzchok V'L'kei Yaakov. Then we mention Magen Avram. It's based on this source. Havul Hashem B'nei El. Nine Shamin Gvuro is. How do you know that you're supposed to mention a bracha of the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shenemar Havul Hashem Kavoid V'Oiz. Again, Havul Hashem, which is a Lashon of Tefillah, give Kavoid, which is honor, for eyes. That's gevura, that's power. How do you know that he's supposed to mention the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh? Hashem is HaKel HaKadosh, and Emar, Havul Hashem Kvoid Shemoy, Hishtachvul Hashem Bahadras Kodesh. So it's Havul Hashem B'nei Yelim, Havul Hashem Kavoid V'Oiz, Havul Hashem Kvoid Shemoy, Hishtachvul Hashem Bahadras Kodesh. These psukim are the makar to the first three brachas of Shemayin Esrei. And it's also the makar to the Seder. First, it's Havul Hashem B'nei Elam, which is obvious. Then it's Kavod V'Oiz, which is Gvurois. And then it's Shtach V'Lo Hashem Mahadras Kodesh, which is Kedusha. It's Maro, let me be Nachar Kedusha. Why did Chazal decide that after you mention these first three brachas, you should mention Bina? You should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato Choynein L'Odam Das, Choneinu Meyitcha Chachma Bina V'Das. How do you know the next thing you're supposed to do is Bina? Not just that. It sounds like Bina follows Kedusha. How do you know that, Seder? Shenema, v'hiktish was Kedush Yaakov, v'es Elikei Yisrael Yaritzu, v'samach lei, and then afterwards it says, v'yadu toye ruach bina. So after we mention Kedusha, v'hiktish was Kedush Yaakov, after you mention the fact that Hashem is Kadosh, then afterwards you're Zaycha to Bina. So that's the appropriate time to daven for Bina. Maro Olay Mitzvah V'Achabina. Why is it that after Atachoyne we say Hashivein, we talk about Tshuva, the Chsiv, Ulevava Yavin, person's going to understand, the Shav, he's going to do Tshuva, the Rafalai, and he'll have a Rafu. Right, it makes sense. You do Tshuva when you Chapta Matzev. So, Ulevava Yavin, and then afterwards, Vishab Ihachi Lem Rifu Basra the Tshuva. So Gemara says, I hear. But if that's the case, Rifa'enu should come after Hashivenu. What comes after Hashivenu? Slach lanu. Ulevava Yavin, that's Bina. Vishav, that's Hashivenu. Read the next word. Verafaloi. So the Gemara says, Loisal Gadait, it can't be the Chsiv. Because there's another pasuk that says, Vyashoi Velashem Viyrachameu. So you see that after tshuva, what do you mention? You mention slicha. So you see, after hashivenu should be slach lanu. Faith the Gemara, my chaz is a samchis aha, smoichaha. I hear, says the Gemara. But the truth is, on the one hand, I have a pasuk that says, ulavava yavin vishav v'rafaloi, which sounds like rifaenu should come after hashivenu. And now you have a pasuk that says, v'yashav v'lashem v'rachameu, v'alikenu kiyabit slach, that slach lanu is supposed to come next. So how do you know which pasuk takes precedent? How do you know the pasuk of should take precedent over the pasuk for Rafaloi? So the Gemara says, "Kasav Karachina," because I have a third pasuk. It says, "Haseilech lechol avinechi, haroife lechol tachluoichi, hagoyal mishachas chayoichi." Meaning, this pasuk, it doesn't mention Hashivenu, but it says Haseilech lechol avinechi. It says Slachlanu, and then it says haroife. So you see, refuah is supposed to come after slicha. So the Gemara says, "Lememra de gula urefuah basa slicha." So you see that gula and refuah are both supposed to be after slicha. But the Gemara says, "One second, v'aksiv v'shaverafaloi." Doesn't it say v'shaverafaloi? So the Gemara says, "Ahu lav refuah de tachluami." Now the Gemara is going to work it all out. That refuah doesn't mean refuah of a chayla, el refuah de slicha. Really, what it means is refuah the slicha. So again, let's go back to the original pasuk. We have Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, that's Avos. Havul Hashem Kavoy V'Oiz, Oiz, that's Mechaya Mason. That's Gvura. Havul Hashem Kvoy Shemay Shtach V'Lashem Hashem Adras Kodesh, that's okay La Kodesh. Okay. Once we talk about Kedusha, the Kedusha was Kedush Yaakov, the Yadu Tayy Ruach Bina, that's where you say Atachayin L'Adam Das. Afterwards, what do you mention? Hashivenu. Why? Ulevavoy Yavin, what comes afterwards? Vishav. Then we mention Slach Lanu. Why? Because it says V'Rafaloi. And V'Rafaloi actually doesn't mean a refuah saguf. It means refuah sanefesh. That's what it means. And that's why we say Slach Lanu. And there's another pasuk for that. V'yoshev el Hashem v'rachameu v'alolekenu kiyar belisloich. Okay, so what comes after Slach Lanu? Goel Yisrael, Re'ena v'anyenu. Ma ro lo megula b'shvias. Why do we say geula as the seventh bracha? Amar Rava Rava, semi teich shasin legal b'shvias. This is a symbol to the fact that the Yidden are going to be redeemed during a Shemitah year. Laficha kevo b'shvias, and therefore it's the seventh bracha. So the idea that the geula is going to come during a Shemitah year is so significant that every single day, three times a day, we mention Re'ena v'anyenu as the seventh bracha, as a remez that the geula is going to come, b'meir b'yameinu, when? During the Shemitah year. Fascinating. Freit the Gemara. Was that true? V'amamar, we learned, Peshishas Koilos, in the sixth year, there's going to be already Koilos. Things are going to happen. Listen how interesting this is. The sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, there's going to be rumblings. There's going to be a feeling like Mashiach is coming, right? Feels familiar. Peshvias Mochamos, during the seventh year, there's going to be wars, meaning it's going to go to the next level, and b'maytzai shvius ben David ba. And then the year after shvius Mashiach is going to come. So, Freit the Gemara, you mentioned in the seventh year because you tell me the Gula is going to come in the seventh year. No, Gula is not supposed to come in the seventh year. Gula is supposed to come in the eighth year. So, Gemara says, no. Melchama nami eschalta de Gula hi. That being that the Melchama is going to be in the seventh year. The Muhammad is the beginning, it's the onset of the Geula, and therefore we mention already in the seventh year. Umaro Lamer Rafu Bashminis. Why do we mention Rafa'inu as the eighth brach, Amr of Acha, Vitakshinit Namila Bashminis, Shetzrich Rafu? Because Bris Mila is on the eighth day, and a child that gets Bris Mila needs Rafu. Right? Once upon a time, it was very dangerous to do Bris Mila. The Ficha Kavua Bashminis is for that reason we would convey it in date. Umaro Lamer Rafu Bashminis. Why do we say Baruch Alayna was the ninth brach, Amr of Alexandria, said, Kenegam Afkir Sha'arim? It's because what we're doing is we're mentioning the people that price gouge, right? They cause prices to go up more than they need to be, and there's a shaychus to those people and the ninth bracha. The chsiv shvar zroya rasha. Who said that? David. And he was referring to these people, and the David Kiyamra, and when David said it, Pachias Amra, said it during the ninth capital in Tehillah. Why is it that after Baruch Aleinu, so we mentioned Tkabe Shofar Gadol, Dechsev Atam Har Yisrael, Anpechem Titenu, Ufer Yechem Tisu Lami Yisrael, Ki Kervu Lavoi. As if to say that first is going to be Parnassa, and then when there'll be a tremendous Shefa of Parnassa, that's going to bring a kibbutz Goliath. The two are related, and that's why first we have to daven for Parnasa, and then afterwards we could daven Tkab B'Shoi for Gadol. As soon as there's going to be a Kibbutz Golias, all the Rishon are going to be punished. Remember, the Pasuk says, V'ashiva yodi olayich, v'etzroif kabar sigayich, v'ksiv v'ashiva shoftayich kabar rishonah. So the context over there is that all the nations of the world, the Kibbutz Golias is going to take place, right? Jews are going to come from everywhere. Uvoa oivdem eretz Ashur, vani dochem eretz Mitzrayim, and v'ashiva shoftayich kabar rishonah. That's why after Kibbutz Golias, we mention v'ashiva shoftayich. V'kibbutz Golias, v'ashiva shoftayich kabar rishonah. As soon as Rishon are going to be punished, kalua poishim, all the poishim are going to be done. The kailu zedim imayim, and the zedim. These are people that do averis b'mezid. That's what zedim means. Sheneva v'shever poishim v'chatoim yachad yichlu. They're all going to be gone together, and this is all a continuation. So as soon as the Rishon are punished, they're all going to be done. Meaning, v'shever shoftayim kabar rishonah punish the Rishon. And then afterwards, v'lam alshinim, al tisikva. That's why it's tucked away right there. V'kimich kalua poishim is remembers keren tzadikim. As soon as the poishim are going to be done with, the keren of the tzadikim, the horns of the tzadikim are going to be exalted. And what happens when the karne of the risham are going to be chopped off? The tzadik is going to have an aliyah. And when the tzadik is going to be exalted, the ger is going to also be. Shenemar mipnei seva takum, v'hadarta pnei zakim, these are the tzaddikim, v'samuchlei, and shortly after it says, v'chiyagur itchoger. The hecham is remes kam Yerushalayim. Where is this all going to happen in Yerushalayim? That's shenemar shalu shloim Yerushalayim, yishloi oyavaych. So again, v'lam al shinim, they're going to get knocked out, v'chol karnei risham agadeya, ala tzaddikim al chasidim, that's the next part of the pasuk, t'remar karnei tzaddikim, and when is that all, where is that going to happen? In Yerushalayim. And therefore, right afterwards, you say Yerushalayim Mircha. For the Kibbutz of Yerushalayim, but David. As soon as we're going to have Yerushalayim, David Melech is going to come. Mashiach is going to come. Shenemar Acher Yeshuvu Bnei Yisrael Uvikshu As Hashem Elokeihem. As David Malkum, given to David about Tefillah. When David's going to come, there'll be a Beis Hamikdash, there'll be Tefillah. Shenemar, Vavi Yosim Alar Kochi, Vesimachtim Beis Tefillasi. That the Beis Hamikdash is a Beis Tefillah. Given to Tefillah about Avoida. Oh, once there's Tefillah, there's Avoida. Shenemar, Oiloiseim Vesevcheim Lerotzein Al Mizbechi. So first Tefillah, and then you have all the Karbanis. Given to Avoida, Bas Taida. And when there's Avoida, there's Taida. Shenemar, Zoiveach, which is Avoida, Taida Yechab Denani. So Zoiveach comes together with Taida, which is going to stop here because we have to stop, and we're leaving in the middle of the Gemara. The Gemara is going through the whole Seder of Shmei Nasre, why we do it in the order that we do it. A lot of very interesting things that we glossed over really quickly. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll revisit this. But as it relates to just one raid bite connected to today's daf, the first part of the daf, and that is the Gemara began with three epic memories from the Amoran that bring out the chshivos of Talmud Torah. Rav Yosef said, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef me'atzalas nefashos. Rav, some say Rav Shmuel Bar Marta said, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef mi'binyan Beis Hamikdash. And Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, who was the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Marta, that Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef mi'kibud Avim. So let's focus on the third halacha. Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef mi'kibud Avim. How do you know that? It's learned out from the fact that Yaakov Avinu was punished for the many years that he wasn't with his parents, that he wasn't doing Kibud Avayim. Chazal said there were 22 years that Yaakov Avinu was away from his parents. And during those 22 years, obviously, he couldn't be mechabed his parents. And for that reason, he was punished. What was the punishment? Mida keneged mida, sort of. And that is that Yosef, his son, his ben zekunim, was taken away from him for 22 years. But the Gemara says if you make a cheshbon, really Yaakov wasn't just away from his parents for 22 years. He was really away from his parents for 36 years. If that's the case, why was he only punished for 22? Says the Gemara, because those other 14 years, it's true, Yaakov Avinu wasn't with his parents, but you know where he was? He was learning in the yeshiva of Efer. And because he was learning Torah, he wasn't punished for not doing Kibud Avayim, and that's what Chazal meant. L'lamedcha shegdoy l'talmud Torah, yoyser mikibud Avayim. Because Talmud Torah is more chashuv even than Kibud Avayim, and this is the raya Yaakov Avinu, he's punished for not doing Kibud Avayim, but not for the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Efer. The truth is, this concept, this idea of Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibud Avayim is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says in Hilchas Kibud Avayim, which is one simen, it's Yerideh Simen Reish Mem, and this is the last halacha, Sif Katan Chafei, 25 Seifim in Shulchan Aruch that deal with the laws of Kibud Avayim. So this is number 25. Talmud Sheroitza Lo Leches Lemakayim Acher. There's a person who's a Talmud, he's a yeshiva bacher, and he wants to learn a certain yeshiva. Because he's convinced that if he goes to that yeshiva, he's going to see a simen bracha in his learning. Because there's a certain Rebbe there, and he feels that that's the right place for him to learn. But his father's meicha, his father's protesting, his parents don't want him to go. Because his father's concerned, rightfully so, it's dangerous. So here's the question. Does the child have to listen to his father, or does he not have to listen to his father? Child wants to go learn. Father says, you have to learn there, why can't you learn here? He says, because I feel like I'll be more matzlich if I learn there. But the father says, you'll be more matzlich, but you're putting your life at risk. You may not come home to tell the story. Over here, you'll be safe. I know, but I want to learn there anyway. So what's the halacha? Does he have to listen or not? It's black and white. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to listen to your father. You're not obligated to listen to your father. If you feel, if your gut of guts is that you're going to learn better, you'll steig better if you go to the yeshiva you want to go to, that's okay. Meaning, even though there's something called kibud avayim, but at the same time, if you feel you'll learn better there, that's fine. And says the Vilna Gaon, how do I know that? The Amrina B'Soif Perakamah de Megillah. Because in the last the end of the first parak of Masechtas Megillah, Daftez Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Torah V'chula. Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibud Avayim. So says the Vilna Gaon, that's the Makarta, the Shulchan Aruch. That's how the Mechaber knew this halacha. And the truth is, if you think about it a little bit more, what's the Shulchan Aruch saying? The Mechaber is not talking about a person who is forced with two choices, meaning he wants to learn in yeshiva. His father doesn't want him to learn in yeshiva. His father wants him to pursue a professional career. So, do you listen to your father or do you learn Torah? That, it seems, would be a little bit of an easier answer. The Mechaber is discussing something a little bit more complex. The Mechaber is discussing where a person wants to learn Torah, and his parents are so proud of the fact that he wants to learn Torah. But his parents are saying, why are you learning Torah in a place where you're putting yourself at risk? Wouldn't it make more sense to just learn Torah over here? Says the Shulchan Aruch, even then you don't have to listen to your father. Why? Because G'dayla Talmud Torah, Yosef Mekibud Avayim. And the truth is, that's a chiddush. You want to tell me, Kibud Avayim versus learning Torah? Okay, my father doesn't have a right to tell me that I shouldn't be able to learn Torah. Whatever. But this is not a father who's telling his son, I don't want you to learn. Fakir, he wants him to learn Torah. He's just telling him, listen, I'm the adult in the room and I'm telling you, you're making a mistake. And the son says, I don't care. I want to go learn Torah. I have a better chavrus today. I'm going to hear a more lamda shashir. This is where I want to be. And says to Mechaber, even then, here's the question. How do you know that even for a little bit more learning, even then it would be okay for a person to tell his father, I'm sorry, I disrespectfully, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to follow Allah and Shulchan Aruch, and I'm going off to learn in the yeshiva. Yeah, you probably want to do this a little more subtly. But the point is that how do you know that that's okay? The Torah says you see it from Yaakov also. And here's what the Goyim means. Because let's be honest, Yaakov Avinu was in the yeshiva of Eva learning Torah. Could Yaakov Avinu have not figured out maybe another place to learn Torah? Maybe he could have. Better. The Gemara had said that Ezra didn't go to Yerushalayim to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? L'lamedcha shegdoy l'talmud Torah yoyser mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. And we made a big deal about this when we went through the daf. And that is, what if Ezra would have gone through Yerushalayim, he went to learn Torah? The Torah says he wants to learn with his Rebbe. And learning Torah with your Rebbe, mashalibay chafitz, the way you think you'll be the most matzliach, is also doicha. And that's the point, that it's not just Talmud Torah versus Kibbutz Aveim. It's learning Torah on the level that you want to learn Torah, on the highest level possible. Even that's something that's Doicha Kibbutz Aveim. Either way, ask your local rabbi. But this is the basic halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And the Vilna Gaon says that what's the makar to this halacha? It's learned out from the Gemara that we just learned, G'dayla Talmud Torah, Yoysa Mikibbutz Aveim. But there's one bomb kasha on this. There's actually a few bomb kashas. It's such a geschmacky Gemara. Look into Turi Evan. There's a lot of festa kashas flying around here. But just one bomb kasha that's worth mentioning. And that's the kasha that the Halig Chassam Sofer asks in a few different places. The Chassam Sofer asks something about it. The Gemara made a cheshbon. The Gemara said that Yaakov Avinu was away from his parents for 36 years. He was punished for 22 of them. Why? Because during 22 of those 36 years, he wasn't being Mekayim Kibbutz Aveim. He got punished that Yosef was taken away from him for 22 years. Clearly, there were 14 of those 36 years that he wasn't punished for. Freik de Halig Chassam Sofer. How did the Gemara know that the 14 years that he wasn't punished for were the 14 years that he was learning Torah in the Yeshiva of Aver? Maybe it was the 14 years that he was working for Rachel and Leah. Maybe it was the 14 years that he was being Isaac in the first mitzvah of the Torah, the mitzvah of Pur Revu. There were 14 years that he was in the Yeshiva of Aver, and there were exactly, it's the same number, 14 years that he was being Isaac of Pur Revu. Now, Yaakov stayed an extra 6 years, and then an extra 2 years. Okay, so for that he got punished. But how do you know that the 14 years that he wasn't punished were the 14 years he was in the Yeshiva of Aver? Maybe it was the 14 years of Pur Revu. Right, the Gemara backed into a whole Makar, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef, Mekibbutz Aveim, which the Gemara thinks is a big Chiddush. Freight the Gemara, how do you know it was those 14 years, says the Chassam Sofer, maybe it was the 14 years that he was being Isaac. And the Chassam Sofer says a dover nifla. You know what the Chassam Sofer says? He says that really for Yaakov Avinu to have been Isaac in Pur Revu, it was a very big deal. But he could have figured out a way to do it when he was near his father and when he was near his mother. And he could have figured out a way to do that simultaneous to being Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim. But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it would have been virtually impossible for Yaakov Avinu to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at the same time that he's being Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim. He says, you want to be matzliach in building a family? Why can't you do that in the presence of your parents? They're not going to get in the way. But if you want to be matzliach in learning, said the Chassam Sofer, sometimes a person has to be goyle l'makom Torah. Sometimes a person has to leave his family. And sometimes if you don't go away from your family, you're not going to be matzliach in your learning. It's not going to happen. So the Chassam Sofer says, it could be, maybe you could have argued that Pur Revu is more chashuv than Talmud Torah, or equally as chashuv, and maybe those were the 14 years. But at the end of the day, Zokta Chassam Sofer, Chazal felt that it's more mistaber that Yaakov was punished for the 14 years that he was being Isaac in Pur Revu, and not for the 14 years that he was learning Torah. You know why? Because the 14 years that he was being Isaac in Pur Revu, who asked you not to be Mekayim Kibbutz Aveim? You could have done it somehow and figured out a way to make it both work. And the fact that he did it, that's a taina, and that's why he was punished. Oh, but you can have a taina on him? Why wasn't he sitting and learning in the presence of his father? You know why? Because at the end of the day, sometimes a person has to be goyle l'makom Torah. And if a person's not going to be goyle l'makom Torah, it's going to be very hard for him to learn. And that was a stira. And because it was a stira, that's why he wasn't punished for that. The Chassam Sofer said this amongst the many places in a tshuva. The tshuva is in Chayshim Mishpat. It's Simen Tes. We've spoken about this tshuva in the past. We have several related raid bites to this tshuva. It's a fascinating tshuva. The story is that there was a man that died. It was a very, very wealthy person. And he left a will. And in the will, he says that he wants that his money should go for a very good thing. Like this, it's going to be an aliyah for his neshama. And he wants that you should take his money, a certain amount. He micromanaged it literally to the dollar. And you should find a young child. He said he should be between the ages of 10 and 15. Someone that the Rabbanan seem to feel that is destined for greatness. And you should support him. You should give him a certain amount every single week. And he should learn Torah. One of the things he said is that I'm not, but I want this person to go out of town. Meaning take this child, whoever he is, take him away from his family. I want him to be away. And that's where this person should sit and learn. Either way, the apotropos opened up the will. He saw this inside. They went. They started asking local rabbanan. They started scouting, and they found somebody. So they take this child and they send him to an out of town yeshiva. And when he was in out of town yeshiva, he met a chavrusa, someone they became very close to, who was the son of one of the local rabbanim in Europe. Anyways, they learned together for a year and a half. At the end of a year and a half, it seems like maybe the haskalah started making its way into that city. It's not clear, but something happened that it was considered already not good to be there. So they had no choice. And this son went home together with his chavrusa. And they go to the Rav's house. And the Rav says, you know what? The truth is, I think that there's no reason for these boys to go back to that yeshiva. That's not a good idea. And really, even to send them anywhere at this point, I don't think it's necessary. I think these two boys can sit and learn locally. I'll find them a melamed, someone to learn with. I'll open up a base medrash. And then he even had a better idea. He said this gvir had given really ba'ayin yafa. He was giving like more money than this child was ever going to need. So he said, the truth is, it's a chaval. Why should this one child have all this money? He doesn't even need it. He has no interest in gashmias. This is a kid that's destined for greatness. He's a child prodigy. Let's instead take the money and let him split it between him and his chavrusa. By the way, it was his son. But he said, let's split it. He meant this 1,000% l'shem shemayim. And he said, not just that, it's going to be a bigger schus for the person that died. Because this person, not only is he going to be supporting one ben Torah, he'll be supporting two bnei Torah. This was the idea that he had. But the question was, is it okay? Lamaisa, the person wrote in his will that it should be for one person. He wrote it should be in an out-of-town yeshiva. He wanted it to be this amount of money. Like Mechatesa, who said you have a right to go ahead and change it? So this Shaila, like so many of these types of Shailas, ended up on the desk of the Heilige Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer sits down and he writes all the different things that we have to figure out. It's a hafachba vafachba de kulaba tshuva. And he goes through a whole bunch of different parameters. But the one part of it that's negeya us, he said, as it relates to this idea, the person wrote in his will that he wants this boy to be out of town. That's where he wants. Whoever's being supported from his money has to be out of town. He said, it's posh to me that what this person did was right. He was a chacham when he did it. He understood what he was doing, and this is the way it has to be. And then the Chassam Sofer goes on with several columns here in Tshuva's Chassam Sofer, making his case and explaining why he thinks that this is such a big deal. And he brings examples from Tanoim and Amayram. He says, look at Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Asher kol Yisrael hishkimu l'pischai, v'shrichi mesifte gabei tvei, kemavur perek beis denidu yodalad amet beis. The Gemara says, Anida daf yodalad, that we paskin like Rebbe, and that's sugi over Rabbi Yossi, even though Rabbi Yossi was Rebbe's Rebbe, and Rabbi Yossi is Nimu Kayima, we always pass like Rabbi Yossi, but in Halacha, sometimes Rebbe knew more, because Shchichim is Siftegabe, because Rebbe had the biggest yeshiva in the world. Yet the Gemara says in Ksuba Samach Beis, that Rebbe told his son, Reb Shimon, after he gets married, that he should go out of town, and should go learn Torah for 12 years. If there was ever someone that didn't have to go out of town, it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's son. Why did he send him away? So he says, because you see, the minhag always was to send children away. This is the way it is. You always send the child away, because at the end of the day, you want the kid to be matzliach, and if you want him to be matzliach, you have to send them away. This is the way it is. Either way, said the Chassam Sofer, after going writing a whole tshuva, then he comes to Megillah Daf Tezayin and he brings his kasha. How do you know the 14 years that Yaakov wasn't punished were the 14 years he was in the yeshiva of Eivor? Maybe it was the 14 years that he was being Isaac in Puruvu. Zakh the Chassam Sofer, Puruvu he could have done by his parents. Therefore, there's no reason he should have the exemption. Talmud Torah could have done by his parents. Therefore, he has the exemption. Says Pashin, that's why he was in Talmud Torah. But this is his postscript. What comes out from all this is Sheyesh Lotzei Slomoy Torah. A person should leave his house to learn Torah. Afilu kshav goyin, even if his father's a goyin. V'rav guvrei, very chashav. V'yeshiva bebeisoy, and he has a yeshiva in his house. Mikol makom yeshleilach l'makom yeshiva acheres. The right thing for him to do is to go ahead and learn in another yeshiva. This yesod that the Chassam Sofer says, not shockingly, is also brought a few times in the Torah of the Chassam Sofer's son, the Heilige Ksav Sofer. Incidentally, last week was the Ksav Sofer's 150th Yahrzeit. So the Ksav Sofer, in a few different places, and most notably in the end of Parshas Vayera, he asks a gevaldige kasha. At the end of the Akedah, at the very, very end, so the Pasuk says, Vayoshav Avraham El Na'arav, Avraham returned to his lads, Vayakumu, they got up, Vayelchu Yachtov, and they went together, El Be'er Shava, back to Be'er Shava, Vayeshev Avram Be'er Shava. And the Medrash, Rashi brings us a Chumash, asks the very obvious question. After the Akedah, who returned? Vayoshev Avram El Na'arav? What happened to Yitzchak? Wait, the Gemara, Yitzchak Heichanu, where did Yitzchak go? I mean, Yitzchak, maybe the Svar Maktoshim say, died, Parcha Nishmasai, but then he came back to life. Yitzchak lived the balance of his life. So where did Yitzchak go? So the Gemara says, Rabrachi b'shem Rabbanon de Taman said, Sholcha Yitzel Shem Lumay Mimenu Taira. Yeah, Avram Avinu sent Yitzchak away. He sent him to learn Torah. Mashali isha shenes ashram yipilcha. And says the Medrash, this could be explained with a mashal. There was a woman, she became very wealthy through spinning thread on her spindle. Amra, she said, Hayu min apelach hazeh hasasharti, being that I became so wealthy from this geshaft, oid eni zaz misham mitachaz yadi laila. I want this to be in my family for future generations. I want all my children, I want to create a a family business, a legacy. Kach amar Avram. Avram Avinu said the same thing. Kol shebali yadi, einoy ela b'shvil shasakti b'Torah mitzvahs. He said, everything that I achieved, I realized I achieved because I learned Torah mitzvahs. Lefichach einoy roitza shetazos mizari la'olam. So I want to make sure that this geschäft of Torah is going to be in my family forever. And that's why he sent him where? He sent him to go learn Torah. It's a fascinating medrash on many levels. So after the Akedah, Avram Avinu realizes what he had done. Velikim nises Avram. Another Nisayin, another Asayin. Right, think of Avram Avinu, where he came from. He starts off in the house of his father, Terach. He starts off in the house of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says it took him 40 years until he formulated all his Amunah and everything that he had to figure out. And Hashem tests him again and again and again. And now finally, the last Nisayin, the Nisayin of the Akedah, Avram Avinu is able to overcome. And he can't believe it. He realizes that he, Azah Shirus. It's amazing. How did he come to the point that he was able to overcome his Nisayinus? Right, it just brings to mind the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, that we always talk about. Lost of love, Hashem's going to shech the Yetzirah, and the tzaddikim are going to see the Yetzirah like this incredible har, and they're going to start crying. Halalu boichem, halalu boichem. Even the Ebishter is going to say, I don't know how you did it. I'll be honest with you. I tried my hardest to knock you off. I don't know how you pulled this off. And Avram Avinu is like, he's nisragish. He can't believe he did this. And he realizes because he learned Torah. That's the reason. Bishvil shasakti b'Torah b'mitzvahs. And he says, if that's the case, what do I want my son to have? There's no greater ashiris in the world than Torah. So he tells Yitzchak, you're not coming home with me. You're going now. I want you to have a little bit of what I have. And that is Torah. And he sends him to the yeshiva of Shem. Beautiful medrash at the end of Parashas Vayera. Oh, but the Ksav Sofer, at the end of Parashas Vayera, Schusi Yogan Aleinu. See, he says, Chashtenish. He says, Avram Avinu came to Akara, that there's something called Torah, and that's the Ashiras. I mean, he knew it, but he realized a knetch in Gadol Talmud Torah. So he says, I want my son to sit in yeshiva. I don't want him to do, not atzolos nefashis, not kibbut of aim. I don't want him to do anything. I want him to be learning Torah. But he says, so why do you have to send him away? Why couldn't he take it home with him? Avram Avinu doesn't have a yeshiva. And by the way, not that long ago, we learned the Gemara in Yuma, Chav Ches, where the Gemara says, Avram Avinu, Avram Zokin Baba Yomim. What does it mean he was a Zokin? He was a Zokin v'yoshiv yeshiva. So Avram Avinu was a Zokin v'yoshiv yeshiva. So bring him into his yeshiva. Give him a shtela, he'll do second tzedek, chves, I don't know. Why can't you make it work? Zokti Ksav Sofer, he says a few suggestions. But one vart that the Ksav Sofer says, that's Nogeya, this raid bite. And that is, Avadi could have taken Yitzchak with him. Could have taken Yitzchak, but he didn't want to take Yitzchak because he felt that it wasn't good for Yitzchak to be home. Better send Yitzchak to an out-of-town yeshiva. That was his hergish. Send him out of town. Have like this yesoid that the Ksav Sofer Hilgatata said, that the Ksav Sofer said. And then he adds one more knetch. He says, if Avram held that the right place for Yitzchak is an out-of-town yeshiva, so why did he send him to an out-of-town yeshiva right away? Why do you wait until after the Akedah? So says the Ksav Sofer, because the truth is, he says, as much as have Goyle Lamakim Torah, but it's not the right thing for everybody. And there are boys that it could actually backfire if they leave their parents' house. And Avram Avinu wasn't sure if Yitzchak was cut out for an out-of-town yeshiva. How amazing is that? And the Ksav Sofer wasn't sure. And that's why he never sent him away. But when he recognized what he was capable of, and when he realized, was licked by that kind, what's going on in his heart, he realized the koyach and the toughness and the metal that he has, that he was willing to give up his own life because the Eibishter wants him to, he realized he can definitely thrive in an out-of-town yeshiva. And that's why he sent him away. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. But either way, this is the point. The point is that Yaakov Avinu was not punished for the 14 years in the yeshiva of Eiver because he was learning Torah. Why do you have to be in Yeshiva Vever? Learn Torah, it's Zaman mit the Tata. Who's his father? His father's Yitzchak. You can't learn Torah by Yitzchak. The Teretz is, you could. It's not the same. And Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoysem, Ekibet Aveim, doesn't just mean, yeah, Torah, no Torah. It means, yeah, Torah, or yeah, more Torah. And even that level of Torah is so chashiv that Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoysem, Ekibet Aveim. But I just want to end with one Dover Nifla from the Sefer HaChaim. We didn't quote the Sefer HaChaim in a little bit of time. The Sefer HaChaim, which was written by Reb Chaim Reb Salami Friedberg from the Achi Amaral. The Sefer is literally HaFachba, HaFachba, the Kulaba. Can't emphasize that enough. And this is in Sefer HaChaim Toivim. It's Chelik Beis, it's Perik Beis. He says something beautiful. We'll end with this. And that is, Chazal say, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoysem Mikibet Aveim. And that's why even though Yaakov Avinu was punished for 22 years for not doing Kibbut Aveim with his parents, but for the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Eiver, he was not punished. So to say for Achayim, that the truth is a tifer oimek in this Gemara. And the truth is a little bit deeper. And that is, he says, you want to know why Yaakov Avinu wasn't punished for the 14 years he was in the yeshiva of Eivor? He said, because when Yaakov Avinu was in yeshiva of Eivor for 14 years, steiging away and harving and learning, he was being Mekayim Kibud of the Aim every single second. He said, because the greatest Kibud of the Aim that a child could do is to give his father Yiddish Anachis. And he says, you tell me what Yitzchak would have preferred, to have Yaakov around making him coffee in the morning, or to know that Yaakov Avinu sitting in the yeshiva of Eivor and he's steiging away and there's no day and there's no night and a shlufnish and he's sitting and harving and learning? He says, the greatest Kibud of the Aim was to shayach in the world. So says the Sefer Rab Chaim, Rab Chaim Ben Salmi Friedberg, Chazal said, but there's a tiefkeit, there's a deeper meaning. And you know what the deeper meaning is? Because the greatest kibud of the aim that a child can possibly do for his parents is to sit and learn Torah, to give his parents Yiddish Anachas. And that's why for those 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was learning in the yeshiva of Eivor, he wasn't punished. What do you mean? He wasn't taking care of his parents. He was taking care of his parents. And his parents understood that he was taking care of his parents. It was the greatest kibud of the aim was a mensch kenton, that for a parent to know that a son is sitting in yeshiva and learning and steiging, there's no bigger kibud of aim in the world. Chazal said, G'doyla Talmud Torah, as if it's like an asay doicha lois asay, that the Talmud Torah is doicha the kibud of aim. Said Reb Chaim Ber Mitzalmi Friedberg 500 years ago, that the deeper pshat is not that it's doicha, but that is the greatest form of kibud of aim. For a child to be sitting and learning, ein lecha kibud of aim, G'doyla Mizu.